This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
And good morning, everybody, here on this Saturday. We're here from 8 until 11. We will be taking your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Sports Saturday, of course, will be Seattle Sports Saturday, be coming on at 11 o'clock. And so it's going to be great to be back here. Let's load up the phone lines and let's get started with headlines. Well, Brian Snyder, special teams coordinator for the Seahawks, has ended up going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. A little bit of a surprise, but you know, at the beginning of the year, he was not here, had to be away for personal reasons and all those different things, and so now he's gone. Seahawks, according to Rick Goslin of Sports Illustrated, formerly in a Hall of Fame voter, he does an annual survey of where special teams were, and he has Seattle as the second best team in football behind Baltimore for special teams. And of course, yeah, Pro Bowl kicker from a couple years ago, Jason Myers, great punter, and Michael Dixon, good coverage teams, all those different things. But Brian Snyder leaving. Interesting things going on in Houston, which is more of a disaster. They're talking to Josh McCown to be the possible head coach of the team. McCown, of course, a quarterback, third-string quarterback of the Texans, and no coaching experience or anything of that nature, but they're attacking to him about the possibility of being a head coach, which just baffles me. All the coaching things other than Houston are pretty well taken care of. Coordinator jobs are being filled as fast as possible. And so I know that Aaron Glenn got the Detroit job. Seahawks still looking for an offensive coordinator. Joe Lombardi down in New Orleans is a candidate. He, of course, Vince Lombardi Jr.'s son, grandson of Vince Lombardi, and lived and went to Seattle Prep because when Vince lived here in Seattle, he was out here. And so those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get started with JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Clayton. How you doing this fine Saturday?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, doing great. Doing great. Hey, is that a joke with Josh McCown?
It seems like it. I mean, they are right now the worst franchise in football. It's an absolute mess. Deshaun Watson wants out of there. Most likely they're not going to trade him, but again, he wants out in a trade. But that's going to be one of the big topics this offseason. They have made so many mistakes with Bill O'Brien as the head coach, making general manager decisions that he shouldn't do. I mean, it is just absolutely terrible down there.
I know, you know, they also interviewed Jim Caldwell, which is not a bad interview for Jim Caldwell. Jim Caldwell is a pretty good offensive-minded coach.
Right.
That would probably be a decent situation. But Josh McCown, I don't think he hasn't even coached. Was he on a coaching staff this year or something, or he just was the backup quarterback down there?
He was the third-string quarterback. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense at all. You wonder why Deshaun Watson wants to leave. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense at all, Mr. Clayton. I mean, you know, you had a bunch of – there's teams that, unless you're willing to wait in and talk to Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah.
Is that's a possibility? They could maybe be doing that?
Well, I mean,
that would be the only...
right now, Bieniemy, he's – you know, again, showing you how bad they are, they actually went ahead and tried to put in a request for him, but they did it after the Sunday deadline because, you know, you can do it during the bye week, and they didn't do it for Kansas City, and then they put it in, and it was too late.
Oh, my word. Jeez. That is a messed up situation. Mm-hmm. That is a definitely messed up situation out there. We'll have to wait and continue to see. What do you think about Drew Brees? Is he coming back, Mr. Clayton?
No, I don't think so. He looked pretty bad last week, didn't he?
Huh?
He looked bad last week.
Yeah, he did. He looked real bad last week. I mean, he get Tampa Bay to get 21 points on turnovers.
Right.
Yeah, he looked real bad, Mr. Clayton. And, you know, and the thing is those injuries compile, they won't stop because – at 42 years old, playing out there with a bunch of young men like that, especially with 300 pounds, it just won't stop. So, what is the possibilities of them looking? Are they going to try to keep Jameis Winston around?
Yeah, they'll try to re-sign him, give him the chance to start, and then they'll also have Taysom Hill. But I think it's pretty safe to say I don't think Taysom Hill's a starting quarterback. Particularly, he could do well against bad teams, but not against a good football team.
No. I think if anything, you could possibly see that with Sean can work his magic with as far as dealing with Jameis Winston is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
The Hawks are looking at Joe Lombardi for the offensive coordinator. That would probably satisfy what Russell Wilson was talking about as far as offensive coordinator. What do you think?
Doug Peterson would have been the best choice, but it looks like he's not going to coach this year. You know, I can't see them doing anything with Adam Gase. And also, from what I hear, he's probably going to sit out the season, not coach. And so then it comes down to, Kirby Wilson from the Raiders, Anthony Lynn from the Chargers. You know, they're talking – we'll see where Joe Lombardi fits in. We'll see if they're waiting to see if Kansas City loses. They can talk to Mike Kafka.
You know, Anthony Glenn is not a bad offensive coordinator as far as that the way they ran the Chargers offense down there.
Mm-hmm.
They were productive on the offensive side.
Yeah, but remember, I mean, he was just the head coach. He wasn't the coordinator.
I mean, he wasn't the coordinator, but he did some coordinator duties over there in Buffalo when he was in Buffalo.
Yeah, in 2016,
right? Yeah, prior to that. And Buffalo's offense was pretty productive on Anthony Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, he's another guy that, you know, as far as an OC is concerned, he's a pretty decent OC, you know?
Right.
If you bring in, that would be not a bad situation. All right, Mr. Clayton, let's look at the last two remaining games, the AFC and NFC Championship. Let's go with the NFC Championship. It's supposed to snow there tomorrow, right?
Not necessarily. Not in the. You're talking about the Green Bay game, or in
Green Bay game.
No, it's supposed to actually be in the 40s from what I last saw.
Oh wow, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
As far as that's concerned, looking at it and breaking it down, what do you see? How do you see this tournament forming up?
It should be a high scoring game. You know, in the sense that you got Aaron Rodgers going against a man defense because Tampa's going to play man and blitz a lot, but then he's so good at picking up blitzes and doing different things. You know, how are they going to be good enough with Carlton Davis to be able to cover Davante Adams? That's a big question because Carlton's their best cornerback, but he's going against one of the best receivers in football. This is one where you got Tom Brady trying to get to his 10th Super Bowl. He won't have Antonio Brown, but that's okay. They've got enough weapons. They still have one of the best wide receiver tandems in football, in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I think it's fascinating because, again, you have two Hall of Fame quarterbacks going against each other, but I think the advantage still goes to Green Bay. This is the first time Aaron Rodgers in five trips to the championship game is a game at home.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. Yeah. Yeah, you look at it, you'd have to, I think another thing too is the ability to run the football.
Right.
Green Bay has been pretty successful in running the football lately in the last couple of, the last half of the season. They'll crank up their running game. They got a plethora of good running backs too. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay has two good running backs too there also. But it all boils down to who can dominate that line of scrimmage. Green Bay has got some real good pass rush. The only thing I think about Green Bay, John, is their ability to stop the run.
Right.
Can they stop the run?
But then the question is Tampa Bay going to run the football?
True.
Because, I mean, they're a 60-40 pass-to-run ratio team. Now, last week, they ran the football. They went down to New Orleans, and they came back and ran the ball 35 times, and they had 34 dropbacks to pass. So if they do that, I think that can work.
Yeah. You got to have a balance when it comes to that. Next one. Bills Mafia against the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
That Mr. Clean, the Bills are a pretty interesting team. You know, they can play good defense.
Right.
They run the ball. Also, their quarterback is pretty athletic. You know, the thing it is about them is, can't say enough. Diggs has helped out a lot on the offensive side of that ball.
Right.
Now, how do you see that shaping up?
Same type of thing. They don't run the ball. I mean, they're a complete pass team, and so They're 60-40 passing or even more than that in the playoffs. And can you take that on the road against Kansas City and the Patrick Mahomes? And because Mahomes is going to play, obviously, because he was cleared yesterday from his concussion. But I just wonder, you know, can Josh Allen go into Kansas City without running the football?
I don't think you can. I think you have to have that balance. And if a team that doesn't run the ball and primarily relies on the running, on the passing game is going to have a problem, particularly in Kansas City. You've got to be able to keep Kansas City off balance. You've got to run the football.
Right.
And Buffalo needs to do that. And that's got to help. You've got to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field, Mr. Clayton. You've got to run the ball. You don't give him too many opportunities at your defense, he will figure you out. You know? That's the thing.
It's like even if they get the lead and have that in the second half, Patrick Mahomes is good enough to come back and win that football game.
Definitely. Without a doubt. He will come back. You know, he is a real great player, and he won't come back and beat him. Yeah, I agree. And that's the problem. That I think it'll be the Chiefs and the Packers, Mr. Clayton, the first inaugural Super Bowl.
Yeah, how about that?
Vince Lombardi against Hank Stram. Vaughn Evers. Last thing, Mr. Clayton, Urban Meyer going to Jacksonville. What do you think about
that? I don't like it.
No?
You know, you look at since 2000, there's now been 12 coaches, not counting Urban Meyer, that have come from college and been try to be successful. Now, Jim Harbaugh has a long history in the National Football League. I mean, he certainly was able to win, you know, coming from Stanford, going to San Francisco. But then you look at all the other failures. Now, I know that Chip Kelly had a winning record, but I don't think he was a good head coach in this league. And so what I'm looking at is two things that can go wrong. One, he's got too much power in personnel because does he know what to look for in building an NFL team? He certainly does in college. And then the other thing, I think that he'll have practices and rules that will be too stringent because, you know, that's one of the things you can do in college, but it's not as easy to do in the NFL. And so I think those two things will work against him.
Yeah, that could be a problem as far as that's concerned. You can't bring college rules into the NFL. You're dealing with grown men.
Right.
And that could be a problem for Urban Meyer. You know, at least he hired – didn't he pick up Raheem Morris as his defensive coordinator? He's picking up
– No. Raheem ended up going to the Rams.
Oh, wow. He did?
Yeah.
He didn't take the defensive course?
No.
Oh,
did get Daryl Bevel as the offensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah, I thought he was talking to Kyle. What's his name? The old offensive coordinator. He went to stay in college for a while, and I thought he was going to take him up. What's his name? Scott Linehan.
Yeah, Scott Linehan. He talked to him, but he didn't. It didn't work out.
So they
ended up going with.
All right. It remains to be seen. That's going to be pretty interesting to watch and see what he does over there with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah. Hey, JB, got to run.
Mr. Clayton, enjoy. We'll talk next Saturday, my friend.
All right, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
We're taking your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Raider Jim. Hey, Jim.
Hi, John. Good morning to you. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great, John. Doing great. John, there was the Hall of Fame voting that took place earlier this week, I understand. And
yep.
I suppose you were in on those Zoom calls.
I was. 9 hours,
Good for you. Wow.
9 hours on Zoom.
Wow. Amazing. Okay. Well, what is your expectation? Is Tom Flores and Charles Woodson going to make it in?
I think so, yeah. I definitely think so because, you know, Tom is a yes or no vote. You know, Charles, I think, you know, arguably was the second player of maybe three that are first ballot Hall of Famers that could make it this year. Obviously, you know, Peyton Manning's going to make it. But Charles had the long career, the success, all those different things. So I think they'll make it.
Yeah, just such great personalities, great individuals, and just great contributors to NFL and football in general. Just great folks. John, can I speak real quick about this whole Eric Bieniemy thing? Everyone's been a lot of chattering going on out there about how he doesn't interview well. People don't know that. I mean, come on. I mean, don't tell me he cannot interview well. That's just a bunch of baloney. The guy's a true professional. He's a great guy. He was a Heisman Trophy winner, wasn't he?
Right, right.
God, I mean, come on, people. Let's start thinking out there. I just don't get it. They don't know those interviews. They don't know what takes place.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, it just shows you the flaws right now in the National Football League. Now, we were able to get, four hires in front offices, minorities, which is good, and, you know, but no black head coaches at this stage. We'll see if Houston does do Josh McCown, but again, it just shows you how flawed the system is right now.
Well, we'll talk about Houston in just a moment, but can't the NFL come out with a moratorium on hiring until after the Super Bowl for all of these coaches?
No.
I just think it's a complete disadvantage for someone who's been successful, such as Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, but see, if you do that, I mean, you throw everything out because, you know, in a normal year, and this obviously isn't a normal year, I mean, you need your coaching staffs, if they can, to be able to, you know, start the scout, you know, do the Senior Bowl, do the combine. Again, this is not happening this year because, again, with the pandemic, everything's going to be different. But you also, you know, start to have to, you know, try to plan for the season. It's like if you push everything back a month to a month and a half, it makes it bad. I mean, so they opened up the system where at least some of the guys can do some of these interviews, but still you're not getting the black head coaches. Now, they're doing a better job this year of getting, you know, minority type of coordinators. That's a little bit of a progress, but it's just so bad when you look and you see that, you know, you've got one Lebanese coach and Robert Saleh going to the Jets, and that's the only minority that was able to get a head coaching job. Everything else has been, you know, either a defensive coach who's young or an offensive coach or Urban Meyer.
Or Urban Meyer. And by the way, I think I disagree with you on Urban Meyer. I think he's going to be very successful, John. And, you know, I don't really want to take too much time about it, but the guy's been a winner through and through, and I think he'll prove to be a very good head coach over there. Well, I just think it makes more sense to have a moratorium. A lot of assumptions have been made about things, about how the NFL goes about its schedule. Like, we have to have workouts. We have to have workouts. Well, with COVID, they didn't have any workouts, and things seemed to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Things seem to be all right. So, you know, I think they need to retool the schedule a bit. And I think it's needed because this is just not right. It's not right. And for someone like Bieniemy who has been successful, and I'm not even talking about race here. I'm just talking about someone who's been successful. Okay. He's been successful. He's done a great job. And any coach that's an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator that is in line to become a head coach, they're put at a disadvantage because they're still coaching their team. It just doesn't make it right.
Yeah, but again, pushing things back just doesn't help. I mean, it's a year-round operation. You want to have your coach. And again, it's like it's too clunky. Again, obviously right. It's a problem because the more you win, the less chance you have to get that head coach away from the winning team. And, you know, clearly the teams that win usually have the best coaching staff. But still, if you push it back a month, again, it just presses too much because basically for, you know, 1 month, you don't have any leadership.
Right. Yeah, I understand. Okay. Well, I'm sure you'll talk to Jet later on
yeah.
You know, in the broadcast. And you can now talk to him about how the Jets are no longer, and with all due respect to the Jets and their fans, the Jets are no longer the laughingstock of the NFL.
Right.
I think that award definitely goes to the Houston Texans. They have screwed up so much. And, I mean, with this whole Deshaun Watson thing, you've got to make that man happy. Not that you should bend over backwards.
Mm-hmm.
But my word, you cannot let it get to this point. The damage control has been just hugely inefficient when it comes to dealing with the situation.
Right, yeah. No,
I
it's
mean,
bad.
It's crazy. And are they going to trade him? They are not going to trade him. There's
no possible way they can trade him.
If you take a look at those numbers, they've invested too much. And what are they going to get in return? You're going to get three number one draft picks for him? I mean,
mm-hmm.
is that what it's going to take? Because that's probably what it will take.
It's going to take more than that.
Well, that's right, because he is a known commodity, and he's young.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a great player.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, make no mistake about it. And how are you going to recruit a general manager or a head coach to coach that team if you don't have Deshaun Watson around?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and they've got cap problems. They've got talent problems. Yeah, it's not a good situation.
No, not at all. Now, one more thing about the Saints. You know, it's just a passing in the guard, not only for Phillip Rivers, salute to him, and to Drew Brees. He hasn't announced yet, but he probably will. I just don't think you can play anymore, John.
No.
And I think they only did it about a third of their playbook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
they
couldn't
so
get
limited.
The ball downfield. It was all short passes.
Right. And it was just wasn't good to see that, in my opinion. And his time has come. And now he can bow out gracefully, as gracefully as possible, given the loss.
I know.
But there's a major cap problem down there.
They're just going to have a bloodbath down there. It is bad. Hey, Raider Jim, thank you for the phone call.
Okay, take care.
All right, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jeff in Atlanta. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, I was, you know, wondering about the quarterback position in the NFL. It seems to just keep getting better and better, and it looks like there's going to be a few openings for the first time in a little while with Rivers retiring, Brees likely to retire, Ben Roethlisberger could go, or he's probably on his way out in the next couple of years. Do you see Cam Newton and some of those other quarterbacks that are kind of borderline starters getting jobs next year?
I think it's going to be tough for Cam Newton. I mean, I think he'll get a backup job, but, I mean, he did not do well in New England, and that's going to hurt him. And, you know, you've still got the, you know, three or four first-round possibilities in the draft that will come in. I mean, will he be employed by an NFL team? Yes. Will he be a starter? I'd say no.
And do you think some of those quarterbacks that are coming up on their fifth-year option are going to be moving on soon? You've got Darnold with the Jets, Baker Mayfield. I think his fifth year hasn't been picked up. And do you see any chance of Andrew Luck coming back to the NFL?
No, Luck's not coming back as it stands right now. He still likes retirement and has no plans to come back. You know, Darnold, of course, he's still got one more year left in the contract. You know, the Mitch Trubisky, you know, he's not going to have the fifth-year option, and so he's going to go. Don't know where he'll go. But, you know, they still have to make that decision right on Darnold because, you know, Darnold has and here's where the problem is for the Jets, although it may not be a problem. You know, they've got to probably stand pat until they find out if indeed Jacksonville takes Trevor Lawrence, because I can't guarantee you that Urban Meyer being the head coach, would he go with Justin Fields as the quarterback? I mean, he could, which would be a mistake, but that is a possibility. I don't think it'd be a wise move because Trevor Lawrence would be, you know, is one of the best quarterbacks ratings wise to come out maybe since Andrew Luck or maybe even Peyton Manning. He's that good, but, you know, they have to then see, do they want Zach Wilson from BYU? Do they want Justin Fields? You know, they still have to see, you know, almost the draft has to dictate. And Robert Saleh's been saying good things about
it,
as far as Darnold.
If the Jaguars were to skip on Lawrence, they would trade that pick, right? There's no way they
would
pass on at the number one spot. Yeah. And with the Seahawks, you know, they've got a few different issues and they don't have a lot of cap room.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chris Carson's really too expensive to bring back. He's not durable. He hasn't made it through a whole season in his whole NFL career, and he's going to want, you know, right around $10 million, maybe $8
million
in free agency, don't you think?
You would think so, yeah. That would make it tough.
That would free up some cap. Do you think there's any way that they could acquire some pieces through trade? I know they've liked doing that. I think that the Browns have some real good targets in Kareem Hunt and David and Njoku. I think that could really solidify the Seahawks offense. What do you think those would cost?
Hunt's a free agent, so you can get him.
Oh, okay.
So, and you know, I think that they'll probably be okay because they have Disley and Parkinson at tight end, and they only have like four or five draft choices.
I think they need a playmaker at tight end.
What's that?
I think they need a playmaker at tight end. You know, you looked at them in
a playmaker would be Jacob Hollister. I mean, he's a playmaking tight end. Speed in the 40.
They're a difference maker.
Yeah, but
I mean, I think they have good pieces there. There's nothing's consistent. It's a hit and miss with that position.
But remember, I mean, you can only have so much because would you say that they have, one of the best wide receiver duos in football? Because, you know, they got DK Metcalf and they got Tyler Lockett.
On paper, yeah, but they weren't able to produce it when you get up against Jalen Ramsey and some of these other – you've also got Patrick Peterson in the division, and if those two guys are able to get shut down when they face elite corners. You need to go somewhere else.
Well, you know, Patrick Peterson's a free agent, too.
Oh, he'll be interesting to see. What type of money do you think the corner market is looking at? Around
$15 million? Well, he'll be trying to get $15 or $16 million.
And Griffin will be probably around 12?
I'd say 12 to 14, yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood.
And the Seahawks should pay that, you think?
I think they should, yeah, because he's their number one cornerback, and you don't want to have too much change. I know that you can't pay everybody, but you also want to take care of your own. Like, people were critical of $11.5 million for Jaron Reed, but that was a fair contract, and you can see how good he is. Now, you know, he's on a two-year deal, so this is his last year coming up. But, no, I think that, you know, you got to try to take care of your own and try not to have too many things because, again, you know, if you go into free agency, there's no guarantee you're going to have the success going into free agency.
Absolutely. And one last question for you, John. Pete Carroll is the oldest head coach in the NFL and has been for a while now. Mm-hmm. He's also the vice president, I believe, of team operations. Do you see a situation where in the next few years he could retire as a head coach but stay on with the organization?
I mean, he could. I mean, he signed a five-year contract, but I think he wants to coach. And that's why he's, you know, just past year signed a five-year extension. So I think his plan is to coach five more years. And certainly John Snyder, who's now signed through the 2017 draft, is expecting that to happen.
Okay, great, John.
Okay, hey, Jeff, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mark in Bellevue. Hey, Mark.
Well, hi, John. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hey, I have a question. Concerning the L.A. Rams, I've been doing a lot of reading, and evidently Jared Goff has heard the criticism that he's regressed, and he's really dedicating himself on the off season now. He's really going to go to work and try to get his best game back. You know, he was so great in college and had a pretty good first year and a half or so. So my question, do you think that Jared Goff can come back and be what's expected of him, be a, you know, a high, much higher level NFL quarterback and get the ball to Cooper Kupp? Get the ball to Robert Woods and those guys. Do you think he's going to make that that improvement?
I think he can, but he's not going to, I think, come out of it and be a top-level quarterback. And right now, the coach is not in his favor. The coach is not having great confidence in him, and it might have to happen on another team, because I think you can see as the season was going on, and particularly got into the playoffs, he's really turned Sean McVay on Jared Goff. I mean, at the moment, he doesn't totally believe in Goff, and so they're going to be looking to see about maybe either having somebody come in either through the draft or in free agency to challenge him. And it wouldn't surprise me if they move away from him. Now, it's going to be hard cap-wise to do it, but it's a bad situation with Goff in there because, you know, when the coach who that drafted you has lost confidence in you, then it's going to be very difficult.
Yeah. Okay. Another NFL question. Do you think that Philip Rivers is a lock for the Hall of Fame? You know, just look at his numbers.
Yeah.
His overall numbers. Do you think he's a lock going in?
I think ultimately, yeah, not first ballot, but I think he will make it because you look at the numbers, you look at the success, and you argue, you know, since he came into the league in 2004, he has to be one of the seven or eight best quarterbacks, you know, in this era. And so with that in mind, I mean, certainly he's the best quarterback to not go to a Super Bowl. We know that. But I have to think in the end, you know, he'll get a chance to get in there. But again, I just don't think it's going to be first ballot.
Okay, and then one thing, John, about our Seattle Mariners. You know, I've talked to a lot of people in my own family, even online, and seriously, John, a lot of fans are still upset about the 2019 season. Remember 2 years ago when they started the season in Japan?
Yeah.
And they won most of those games, and they started out the season 13-2.
Uh-huh.
And then they kept going, remember that, pretty good for a while, and they were in first place, well ahead of Houston, before their real collapse, and they traded away all those good players. My question for you, have you heard this? If the Mariners that season hadn't been able to keep a distance, you know, in first place there for a while longer, another month or two ahead of the Houston Astros, would they still have made all those trades and traded away the great players because of the salary cap stuff?
See, I'm not the biggest fan of tearing it down and building it back up, because that's a 4-year, 5-year process. And so, but I think what you can see, particularly in a division like this, you know, with Houston in there, I mean, they weren't going to win the division, and the best they were going to be was going to be maybe a wild card team, and probably a team with the talent that they had, you know, maybe around a 500 team, and so. You know, I think, you know, they were going to level off because, again, you're starting, you know, Robinson Cano was declining. You know, they had some age in different positions and all that stuff. So I think, you know, the best they were going to be was going to be an 80-82 win team. And, you know, that's not going to be good enough in a division like this to be able to win. And so, you know. Again, I'm not the biggest fan of tearing it down and building it back up, but you know, I think, you know, you would still have disappointing results just watching if they would if they stayed with the players that they had. But now they've got to, you know, start to add some veteran players to try to see where they were. Now last year, you know, in the shortened season, you know, they did pretty well because at least they were in it until the last week. This year is still going to be difficult, but if they would have kept the players like Robinson Cano, it still would not have worked to the benefit of the team. Hey, thank you for the phone call.
Okay.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mike in Renton. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, John. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. How's the missus?
Doing well.
Good, good. Hey, John, first of all, I want to give a big shout-out to Matt Nelson. He's such a pleasant young man when he answers the phone. And I really appreciate him. I know he works hard. So
he does.
I want to put that in. Sounds like a nice guy.
Yes.
Hey, John, what do you think about them moving off of Ben?
I think it'd be a bad move. I think they need to stay with Ben.
That's a lot of money to bring him back.
Well, what's the other option? They don't have any. They don't have a quarterback. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't win.
That's true. I could bite my tongue for the next couple years and go with Rudolph. What do you think about them bringing in this kid from Washington?
It's interesting. I mean, you know. Not that you think it's. I don't think it's going to be successful because I don't think he works hard enough. But you know, he at least is going to be better than Mason Rudolph. I mean, you're talking about a first round talent, and you know, I don't know if they're going to hire Hugh Jackson or who they're going to hire as the offensive coordinator. But you know, I think it's a good move. But again, it's not going to be anything that's going to replace Ben.
Yeah, I've seen some articles on the Haskins. They're saying that his work ethic is bad. He's just
bad.
A lazy player.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he wants to work hard enough.
Mm-hmm. Agree. That's the book on him, and that's one of the reasons that they let him go like they did.
Yeah. Hey, John, these two games this weekend, who are you picking and why?
If I was picking, I'd pick the home teams. You know, you got Aaron Rodgers at home. I know it's going up against Tom Brady, but he's at home and he's had his best season with 48 touchdown passes. And Patrick Mahomes is better than Josh Allen. And you know, for Josh Allen, he has to prove, can he take this on the road and be able to win? And I think that's going to be difficult. So I think it's going to be the home teams in this game.
Remember last week when I told you about Tampa Bay winning? If they can get that running game going, they're going to win. And I think what's going to happen in this game against Green Bay, if they get that running game going, I think they're going to win. And not only that, Brady knows he's got a lot to play for. He's chasing history.
Oh, agreed.
He's going to rally that team. You watch, John.
Yeah, we'll see, but that's why it's going to be so fascinating, you know, watching these games because you know they're evenly matched. I think that you can see there's all good quarterbacks and a lot of good things. So, but I don't know. I just think that Aaron Rodgers still has the advantage because he's at home. But hey, Drew Brees was at home and you know he didn't play well, and now you can see why he's probably going to retire. But I think, you know, in the end, I think still it's going to be Aaron Rodgers going against, the great Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I like to see KC and Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl. That'd be nice. Hey, John, good talking to you. Take care.
All right, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Irish Mankey. Irish Mankey, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Clayton, and you too, Mrs. Clayton. Fantastic. A beautiful day in paradise, as most of the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
it
Mr.
is.
Clayton.
But what happened to your Irish now that they were found to be cheating and they had to go take a penalty for some bad stuff? I mean, go a little bit on a little probation. What happened there?
Well, let's talk about that. According to Fanside, which is a website, you know, they detail that it was a young man from Kennedy Catholic. There were two infractions. One was All-American defensive back coach Todd Light, who was subsequently fired, jumped the gun. Apparently, there's a no rule. Well, let's put it this way. Imagine yourself, it's a 100-yard dash, and you've got these schools lined up waiting for the gun to go off. Well, it turns out Texas A&M, Florida, and Notre Dame jumped the gun on this kid. And subsequently, there was a ticky-tacky penalty put on Notre Dame.
Right.
I don't consider $5,000 a big fine. It cost the All-American Notre Dame defensive back coach his job at Notre Dame because he jumped the gun. But more importantly, the big thing was Kelly, who happened to be at the school with Light, Kennedy, was fined because he took a picture with a kid there.
Yeah.
Some kid, apparently, as the story goes, Coach Kelly was walking through the cafeteria, and some kid comes running up to him and begs him to take a picture with him.
Uh-huh.
And Kelly, at the time, was, as the article says, was hesitant to do so, but eventually he said, "Oh, you know, okay," and he took a picture. Well, he got fined for illegal recruiting because of a picture some kid wanted to have, a selfie, Mr. Clayton.
Yeah,
he was not recruiting that kid that asked for a selfie with the coach, and he got fined. You know, he got anyway. Yeah, they got in some trouble there, but it's not a big deal. It just means that Kennedy High School will not have the advantage for a year to have their potential kids go to Notre Dame.
Yeah, so they cheated.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently so, as it says. But regardless of that, shame, shame. At least it's not like a Tennessee who, I guess, recently has come out was handing out McDonald's bags.
Right.
With cash in them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, believe me, in comparison, it pales. Unfortunately, a young man, All-American, defensive backs coach for Notre Dame, graduate of Notre Dame, was just a little too enthusiastic. Apparently, you know, as the story goes, there is a no-contact rule, apparently, till July 1st. Now, I don't know what day he actually talked to this kid.
Right.
I don't know if it was June 28th or 29th or even June 30th. Who knows? But he jumped the starter's pistol, shall we say, Mr. Clayton. And, yeah. It's disappointing. Cost a very brilliant young man his job at Notre Dame. And it'll definitely impact him and with any other coaching jobs. But, you know, to pin a selfie, and the kid was not being recruited by Notre Dame. It's just some kid in the class in the lunchroom runs up to him and says, "Hey, I know who you are. Will you take a picture with me?" Anyway,
not a good situation.
But Mr. Clayton,
yes.
Life goes on. Notre Dame is, I think, ranked in recruiting this year 7th or 8th in the country. They've got a great class coming in. Things are fine at Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Disappointing, but let's move on to the NFL.
Okay.
So you, I'm assuming, of course, And I think, personally, and I would assume even the NFL would love nothing better than Green Bay and Kansas City.
Yep, I think that'd be a good one.
That is the package. I don't think folks coming from the South are going to enjoy the northern weather of Green Bay, and to that, the home field advantage is a classic example of how you win when you're at home. So what are they doing? Pardon me. What are they doing about the Super Bowl as far as attendance now?
Well, what they did, they finally decided this week there's going to be 22,000 people that can watch the game. They're going to take 7,500 people that are healthcare people that have been, you know, helping everybody and give them free tickets, and then put 14,500 up for sale.
Wow. So basically an empty stadium for
yeah,
the Super Bowl.
That's correct.
Oh, boy. You know, well, hopefully this will be the last one and done year, you might say.
Let's hope.
Yeah, indeed. And Mr. Clayton, are you ready for snow?
I don't want snow. It's a four-letter word.
are we
going to have it?
It may be showing up at our doorsteps Sunday, Monday.
Let's hope not.
Stay warm.
Okay, thank you.
Say goodbye, Mr. Clayton.
All right, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN here. And, of course, don't forget Dave Grosby will be joining us at 10:30. Let's go to Sean in Tacoma. Hey, Sean.
John, we need some more iron in this show. Let's get out the steel skinny, damn it.
Okay, there you go. Because this is Steelers, Sean.
Let's do a little clean work here first. A couple calls back, you had a Mariner guy call in. You're a Mariner baseball fan, right?
Which I'm neutral, but again, it's like I'm a baseball fan. There's no question about that.
Yeah, but so the deal is, if we were in a bar, that guy'd be buying everybody around for talking about baseball and football show.
Yeah. Well, no, it's a sports show. We can talk any subject. So.
I know. Okay, with Ben now, we brought Haskins in, my mind, with Kate Rudolph's a free agent at the end of this year, in the next, you know, coming year. So I think there's no sense of keeping it, because we already know Haskins can back up Ben. He's got more starts.
Yeah, that's why I think it's a good move.
The future.
Yeah, again, he's not going to start. It's going to be Ben, but at least, you know, he does give an option. And, you know, he was one of the most talented quarterbacks that's right now on the street, and they did get him signed.
Yeah, well, yeah, I like it. I mean, I think, you know, the draft quarterback is no sense to keep Rudolph. Next thing is, with the tie-up against the cap and everything, what do you think? Is there any way they can keep Juju at all?
It may be tough. I mean, they can keep him by maybe franchising him, but then, you know, that's going to eat up a lot of cap room, and so that might be a little bit of a problem. But, hey, like anything else, you know, you try to negotiate and you see if you can get a deal done.
Yeah, we got Watts up next year, and there's a lot of people coming up. It's probably going to be too much. He's probably going to walk, right?
Well, I know. I think the Raiders are interested in him, so there's definitely going to be interest. And, you know, I don't know if the Raiders are going to have enough cap room to be able to do something. But, you know, still, I mean, the Steelers do a good job of trying to keep the best players. And obviously, you know, T.J. Watt is going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough for Bud Dupree to be able to stay.
Oh, I think there's no way to keep Dupree. And then while Juju's at quarterback in college, that's for the Jets, but they'd be after him too, wouldn't you?
Now, repeat that again.
Well, Darnold is Juju's quarterback in college. So I can see him going there, too, to the Jets.
Yeah, they definitely need wide receiver help. Hey, thank you for the phone call.
Absolutely.
Okay, Sean. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.